You're listening to The Pathway, a podcast about career and technical education produced by the Southern Indiana Career and Technical Center. I'm Jill Starr. Today's episode is Season 1, Episode 7, Computer Science and Beyond. If you need to troubleshoot a problem at the Southern Indiana Career and Technical Center, or if you need a technology expert, Mr. Nick Bander is the first person that comes to mind. As the instructor of the Computer Science and Software Development Program, Mr. Bander wears numerous hats on our campus and works hard to make sure our facility is the best it can be for our students. We recently had the chance to grab Mr. Bander for an interview about his background, experience, and predictions for the future.
Activating hyperdrive.
I'm Nick Bander. I am the Computer Science Software Development Instructor, also known as the Programmers, and I'm a teachaholic.
As a high school teacher, let's go back in time.
No.
Let's think about when you were 17 years old. Tell me a little bit about Mr. Bander in high school. Who were you? What things were you interested in?
One word. Nerd.
No.
Yeah, I totally was a nerd. So marching band was the big thing. Boy Scouts, those are like my two big things I was doing. Working, so I worked at Schnucks. I was a bagger. Grocery cart. I started that in like, I was like 15. But then 17, I was probably back in the back doing grocery stocking and stuff. So, but yeah, like was in like, you know, some of the honors courses. And so supposedly I was in honors English, which was more of just survival because English is to me the worst subject to teach and cover and do anything with. But no, that was kind of the nerd, you could say. When friends and I, we hung out, played games together. And usually it was like hanging out, going to Sonic after events from school or doing things like that. But then like was heavily involved at church, like a youth group. I played in the youth band at this time, did basically all the events that came around from our youth group. So everything from just Friday night dodgeball, because I went to First Southern there by Harrison High School. Now Friday nights was known as dodgeball night, and we open the gym up 9 to like 11:30 and just play dodgeball. So that was like a big thing we did. Originally it was like every other Friday, and we did like first Friday of the month, and then like at one point it was almost like every Friday, it felt like. Of course, that was like, you know, 40 years ago when I was 17, but you know, that's kind of what I was mostly doing, just hanging out with friends and stuff. So
trying to
figure out what's next.
Now, did you go to Harrison?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Harrison High School grad over here.
I love that. See, yeah. I graduated from Wright, so battle of the West Side versus the East Side.
I want to be honest with you. I just went to Harrison and just got my way out of there. So I was more excited to go to college. College was the better 4 years than high school. So I always hear like high school is like the best 4 years. I'm like, well, then they didn't go to the right college.
I agree with that. And that is actually a perfect transition to my next question. You know, we have this vision of who Mr. Bander is as a high school student.
Oh, God.
So you talked about this desire to want to go to college. So did you know what you wanted to study? And then where did you end up going?
So I went to Rose Holman Institute of Technology, also known as the nerd school. Terre Haute and the Tehezy. Studied civil engineering. So this is bridges, construction, roads, playing with dirt. And I really like the dirt classes, so like the foundations and stuff. Because I originally thought going into construction and building would be my cup of tea. We did a lot of like mission projects and stuff. We went through a corporation called Casa Porcristone High School. We went down 1 week during the summer and built homes for families around Juarez, Acuna area. And it was a lot of fun, and building and stuff like that was always really like cool to me. I really enjoyed woodworking, things like that. And then I went to college and I thought, mechanical engineering looks really hard. And then civil engineering looks more fun because I get to get my hands dirty a little bit more. So I went down the civil engineering route, which you're probably asking at this point, what is a computer teacher doing civil engineering for? So I grew up with parents who are a little bit older, and our computer that we had at home was utilized for solitaire. When I was really little, we'd get on the computer and go to cartoonnetwork.com, and I asked my parents' permissions first before I went on there to play games. And yeah, that was my computer experience. I didn't take my first typing class until like junior, so I was like that one junior kid with all the freshmen in there, like barely typing away.
Kind of punching one finger at a time.
Yeah. You know, the whole like cardboard cover they had for you, I was doing the whole like bend back and like look underneath the cardboard. So I just really wasn't into computer technology. In fact, my first day at Rose, when they handed us a laptop, because Rose, you had to buy their laptops that way it meets their specs and all that stuff, my computer blue screened. It died. Oh, and I was like, I literally have had this for an hour and I've already blue screened. I don't know what I did. So that got fixed really quick. But I never was into computer technology until later, because I always thought I'm gonna do civil engineering type stuff, and going through it, had many conversations with friends about what am I doing right now. We'd go to this place in Terre Haute called Maryland Community Church every Sunday night, because we couldn't wake up in time to go Sunday morning, so we went Sunday night. And man, there's just so many times where I just saw the youth pastor up there or the music pastor. I was like, man, that'd be a fun job. And then I started realizing really quickly that engineering isn't probably, like, civil engineering is not really exactly what I wanted to go to. But I finished the degree and got into the field and realized it wasn't really for me, and found this opportunity to come out here and teach. Made that transition over,
you know,
here.
And so, I think that that's a really interesting point, because so many times, you know, as adults, we look back at our careers and our education. You know, we pivot, we change our minds, we make decisions based on where we want to be or what we want to do, and it's okay to change your mind. We work with high school students who feel like, I'm 17 years old and I have to have it all figured out right now.
Yeah.
And it's okay to explore things and change.
And that is such a foreign concept to me when I was in high school. Nothing against my parents. So mom, dad, if you're listening to this, I mean, it's nothing against you guys, but at a very young age, my mommy and daddy told me I should be an engineer because I was good at Legos and putting models together. And I enjoyed it. I really did. Yeah. But I was just really good at just following the instruction manual and putting things together the way the instruction manual said.
You weren't a master builder.
No, it's not a master builder. Like, if you put me on Lego Masters and you give me the design and the instructions, I got you for days. But if you want me to come from the ground up, let's put it this way, struggling on building blocks right now with my 2-year-old, I'm really good at building it tall, but what it looks like is literally just a really tall stack of blocks. It's really hard to fall down. So
yeah,
I was good at that part.
There you go. So, that civil engineering coming into play with your children.
Yeah. It was just something that when I got into the construction field, the company I worked with, they were pushing out iPads to the foreman. And instead of the engineer printing out the drawings and running up to the top of the boiler house and giving the prints to the foreman and making sure that we had the right prints, I could sit at my desk and use this really cool program that sent it in, pushed it up to the cloud, the foreman hit Wi-Fi, and then they download it, and it's good. So it was really cool to like start being on the forefront of that, and that really made me like realize, oh, I love helping people. I like building things, but I really like the more the computer side of things and software and getting into that stuff. Pivoting was definitely the big one, because also when I jumped into teaching, I was originally supposed to be a physics and calculus teacher. Yeah, so there's the nerdiness. Computer science gig opened up, so I was able to jump into that, which is, I'm really glad I went down that route.
That's exciting. So, and I think kind of that mixture of the interest in the field, but you're a great teacher. And I'm not just saying that to,
she's just,
you
know, saying
just because you're in the studio today.
She's getting $20 right now.
But you just have such a way with high school students, not in just how you teach, but the relationships that you can build. So was that something that kind of came into mind? You said, oh, I think I'd like to teach that, but I think I would actually like to teach.
Yeah, I really think so. Because to me, what I started realizing, but there's a significant amount of people in the world that I dealt with in the construction field that were tech illiterate. And they would instantly say, I'm dumb or I'm old. And it's like, no, you're not dumb or old. You're new to this. It's the same thing when they allowed me to go work with them on one of our job sites. They put me on a hammer drill and I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
So I asked the dumb questions. Hey, I'm the fresh out of college graduate here. Help me how to do this. What I realized was if I can relate with them and understand where they're coming from, you can get through to them easier. When I'm teaching, and today we had a guest speaker come in, so the first half of class was more work time. I was able to kind of work with kids one-on-one and kind of dig into where the actual root of the problem was. And, you know, it's one of the things I want my students to understand. I need to understand the technical side, but to get to the technical skills of actually being able to get the program to do what it's supposed to do, we got to get the basics and get the foundation. Where do we have our hiccups? Where do we have our main things? And I don't know, just working with people in the soft skills side of things, that's where it's fun to me. I want to figure out what helps people get over the hills and walls that they're in.
I like that you mentioned soft skills, because it's something that people take for granted in our curriculum. Yes, we follow all the, you know, we cross the T's and dot the I's for what we have to teach. Yeah. But what we're also teaching are the things that no one else teaches you.
And that's a huge thing with Out Here at SigTech. And I don't know if all current tech education is like this, but I know it's a big push and a lot of things I read and see. But the soft skills is the biggest tool I feel like students get from here.
Mm-hmm. I agree wholeheartedly.
So at our career fair that we have in the fall, we had over 150 companies and colleges and union halls and military branches here to recruit our students. One of the biggest things I heard back from the recruiters from colleges and companies, we actually have students that will look at people in the eye and shake their hand.
Yeah.
And they said they struggle with college students and actual adults who struggle with that. I get it. We're coming off COVID and, you know, the socializing and stuff like that is still going back to quote unquote normal, what it was before, but just the little things like that is huge. Being able to communicate, being able to problem solve, being able to troubleshoot is hands down the big thing that we want to teach to our kids.
People assume that they know how to do that, and we as teachers know that they have no idea.
Oh my gosh, no.
16, 17, 18 years old, if they have a problem, the first thing that happens is they raise that hand.
Yeah.
They don't think, how can I solve this, or how can I work as a team? How can I effectively communicate my thoughts? So
yeah.
Those things that they just get taught here because it's natural to what we're doing.
And I feel that because, like, when I was 17, I still remember physics class. Mr. Kelly at Harrison High School, now at North, wonderful class. Love the class because he taught physics, but I think the biggest thing I got from that class is how to troubleshoot and problem solve. Because with physics problems, like, you get this big word problem, which already most people don't like that. And, you know, I don't like the reading part, but that's real world word problem. But when I had a question, I instantly just leaned over to my buddy. What's he talking about? How do I get started on this?
Yeah.
But that's what we want people to do, is ask those questions and be able to have that environment to explore those questions and stuff. And, okay, they can't figure it out. I can't figure out what's next. How do I Google it, you know, or how do I research? How do I not just take the first search? Because, not to date myself any, but I grew up in the ages where you had to go to page 2 and page 3 of a Google search.
Wow, Mr.
Yeah,
Hunter.
Pretty old.
So how long have you been teaching?
6 years, something like that, 6.5. Math's hard. Yeah, I think like 6.5 is the actual. I was part-time at SigTech. I'm doing math tutoring and helping students who need extra support on the ISEP. And then I also taught a half semester of geometry and math lab at NewTek. Came in like during the middle of the school year, so my number's always off. It's harder to calculate that way. But here at SigTech, I've predominantly been at SigTech because NewTek was here at that time, so.
So tell me a little bit about the computer science program that you're in charge of. What exactly is it? What do the students learn?
Video games.
Video games?
No, I'm just kidding.
You should call it the video game.
No, I think that's honestly one of the biggest misnomers or miscommunicated things that we do. You know, I do joke about we're the video game class because most people think that, but I mean, we don't go into the arts of video games. We do some stuff. We build some games with programs, but, you know, computer science to me is a big umbrella of ideas. It's the science of computers, and there's different avenues. Same thing, like, I think of it like if you go to get a biology degree. Okay, I got a biology degree. Now what? Do I go to the medical field? Do I do vet and marine? Do I do... there's just different avenues that you can do. Computer science, you can get a degree in and go down software. You can go down IT. You can do networking. Most of the time, computer science is predominantly more on the programming side, and that's what, like, my class has that subtitle, software development. Because technically per NLPS, we follow that. But the software development side is more we build software. We basically start day one acting like you've never turned on a computer and go through that on just basic stuff of how to open up the computer, copy and paste, and some of the general stuff. We do some IT type basics, but then we get mostly just into programming. We do Python. That's our first big language that we learn, which Python to me is like the gateway language. Like, you learn that and then it's easier to kind of branch out. And then we'll get into using Python language, and then we'll get into like website development, HTML, CSS stuff. But with that, we'll get into like the actual software development process. But we do data science projects. We do with our websites, we build a pretty picture website. We don't go through how to build a pretty picture, like, from the ground up, because, again, I'm instruction manual. Design is not my forte, but if you give me a design and want me to build the design, that's what we do in our class. Because in the industry, usually you separate developers and designers.
Sure, yeah.
So we do that, but then we'll get into databases. First year, we'll get into building an actual web application. So we have, like, a little tutorial that company that I kind of work part-time for. We developed a tutorial for the kids on how to build a website, build a database, and make them actually talk to each other. Because building a pretty website is cool and all, but how many people just go to a website just to read the content? Most people go to, like, e-commerce, things like that. So that's where we kind of end that first year. But sprinkled in there is, like, the soft skill stuff. Like, during October, November, we build resumes. We talk about interviewing because we have the career fair. We do college researching. We do presentations. We are more of projects rather than assignments. In the past 3 years, I'm not giving out an actual test, because test is where you just go and regurgitate information.
Yes, yes.
So we do projects out here. We build applications out here. So that's kind of our first year. Second year, we do a lot of different projects. Technically, we do some more advanced programming, but then we do some Android Studio, which is building Android apps. I'm sorry, iPhone people. Yeah, iPhone makes us charge and makes it a little bit more expensive.
It's okay, I'm team Android.
Android users are very good friends of mine in our field, because Android is free to build. So we do Android apps, but then, like, we do all kinds of different projects. Okay. Typically, like, afternoon class for me during the week, we have at least 2 days, or, like, I call it client days, where we do the actual software development process. We do a stand-up. We do planning boards and organization. And then kids, our students are broken out into different groups to work on actual projects that we use here in class or outside of class. We've had people ask us to build stuff. We've worked with our industry partners to build the websites. A couple of the projects that we've been working on this year was, like, a swipe badge system, trying to work on building the actual scanning system, the boss side, the user side, actually having to print out the badges and stuff. We have, in our foyer here at SickTick or in the Commons, they have TVs up there. We build a little slideshow program we're working on right now that will manage the pictures remotely and be able to add in a few more tools with that. A couple other projects are, like, our career fair website. The lunchbox, I don't know if you ever heard of this really great place to eat at,
so
in Evansville.
Delicious.
The lunchbox here at SickTick, their website was built by our students. So we've got all kinds of odds and ends. It's a way for seniors to more explore what they're interested in, because the ones who built the lunchbox website, they're more into design and websites dev. So I was like, oh shoot, that's perfect for you guys. The ones who were working on the swipe badge system first semester, they were like, I want to get really nerdy into, like, the database and how APIs work. And I'm like, cool, that's your project. It allows them to explore. And honestly, what I think the best part about going here to SickTick is that internship opportunity that we offer. So we have students out on internship this semester, senior year. So getting paid while working and getting this done during school
time.
Doesn't
get much better than that.
No,
right?
Not at all. Not all of them are paid, but a couple of them are paid. And I already had one student, kind of a success story. He came in to the program. He thought, junior year, I'm going to be a programmer. I'm going to go and do software development later. Now he's had an internship in the IT realm. And he said, I think I'd rather do this.
Oh, no kidding.
I'm like, great, dude. That means you didn't spend $40,000+ to go down and get training for something that you realize, oh, I don't really want to do. You're able to figure this out now, and he's planning on, you know, doing more of a information technology, computer information system type pathway in college.
And I think that's a good point too, because what we're trying to do is to give potential career paths to students for them to explore, like you said, before they are spending, you know, tens of thousands of dollars on a degree. And they could find something that they love here, but just as valuable. They could find something that maybe they don't love as much, but they've still developed essential skills that they can use anywhere.
Yeah.
But you haven't shelled out, you know, enough to buy 5 cars.
Or have a mortgage payment of student loans later down the road. So
yeah, it's crazy. So all those things are just, I think, kind of benefits to what we do versus maybe just some other traditional educational routes.
You know, I go back to, I pick on math because I was
Please
doing
do.
The math.
I am not a math person. I pick on it all day.
I go back to the question in math class, which I think is the most infamous one. Where am I going to use this in life? I think back to Algebra 2 when we taught imaginary numbers. The go-to was the one I remember, and, you know, I'm sorry if I offend anyone, but you're going to use it while dealing with electricity. Yes, if you're in electrical engineering, you could deal with imaginary numbers and make sense of black magic called electricity. But also, in some programming aspects, you have to use imaginary numbers to get objects to render and also move and manipulate, rotate, flip, that as a software engineer, you will need to understand how to program that. Then there's a software developer who just literally just uses the program or uses the module and just say turn and it turns. But someone has to build the ability to turn. And, you know, that's where I feel like out here we have the ability to show them, hey, this is actually where you're going to use this from real life. You know, unfortunately, whenever you have an Azure 2 class, you have 30 students in there and you may have some kids who are going to be going in the radio industry and some who may go in the culinary industry and some may go into some engineering or some other nerdy field that wants the nerd out on the math side. But that's what's cool out here. We're able to go through and show them kind of real world math for our field. So.
And they appreciate that so much. This light bulb goes off and they say, oh, wow, I am actually going to use this. And then they go back to their math class and they're not as downtrodden when they go in there.
At least that's our goal, at least.
So I'm fascinated by just the idea of computer science, just kind of the whole curriculum, the industry. Mm-hmm. Where, and this might be kind of an interesting question for you, where do you kind of see the industry going in the next 5 to 10 years? What are your predictions?
I don't know if you ever heard of this crazy program. This is kind of on the down low right now. There's this crazy thing called AI.
Oh yeah, that AI.
It's going to take over the world. We are eventually all going to be in the Matrix. We're all going to be awoken that we are in the Matrix right now.
I'm still waiting for that Terminator to happen.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. That's where I feel like if you look at the media, that's what they're going to tell you. That's where we're heading to. We're not heading that way. AI is the buzzword right now. It's an excellent tool to use. Most of my industry partners I've talked to have used it, still use it in some form or fashion. There's the buzzword of ChatGPT is the big one that people are discovering now. But AI has been integrated in so many pieces of technology used daily that it's been here, guys.
We're right in the middle.
In tech right now, I mean, look over the past 20 years. There's been things that blow up that are really cool, really important for like 2 years, then they go away. If you look at like our phones right now, I mean, I'm still remembering when it seems like every year the next phone came out and there's some cool, crazy feature that was a part of it. I look back at iPhone, I feel like over the past 5 years, and again, I'm an Android guy, so I don't really pay attention to the iPhone, but it's the camera has gotten better, and there's some like UI stuff that's gotten better, but there's never been like something groundbreaking, new, or crazy. You know, we are heading to a time, I feel like the next 10, 15 years, that getting into computer technology, rather, you know, whether you're going to go and actually into that field or do something to adjacent that field, or honestly, even people who are going into the culinary side and wanting to start a restaurant, you need to start embracing it, because that's where, well, for example, those people who are stocking grocery stores, there are AI tools that help you model and visualize and analyze the data of how much your food is coming in and out. And utilizing those tools is going to help you out a lot. Well, someone's going to have to build those tools. We can use AI to help us code, but you go to any AI project and you tell them, I need this tool to analyze this data set. They'll give you a tool, but it's now up to us to understand, okay, did the AI machine give us exactly what we want? No, it really didn't.
Right.
It gives us a starting point. It gives us something to troubleshoot. It gives us another second set of eyes. Like, I had a student who was using GPT to help him out in class. Now there's one instructor versus 14 students. So if there's one student who is needing help at the same time another student needs help, I can't clone myself. It'd be scary if I could. But he was using GPT to help him out, and it initially was just spitting out garbage that it found online. But then once he started getting more specific and asking the right questions and actually troubleshooting, problem solving, he was able to get over the issue. And by the time I got done helping the other student, he was done, moving on. And make sure the 2.5 hours he's in my class is being productive and not falling behind. I think we're going to have that in the future, but we're needing programs, we're needing software built. Right here in Evansville, our industry partners, everyone I keep hearing is saying, we are hiring more people. We need more people. You know, you see in the media right now, Google had massive layoffs of developers. There was, I think Meta was another one that had a big layoff. And yes, they are laying off thousands of people, but your local companies here, they need those thousands of people. So those are just one company letting off a lot of people. And yes, there's a lot more tools to help us program, but be just a programmer, you're only going to go so far. The people people who learn the other skills, those are the ones who are going a lot of different places and stuff. So we have a cybersecurity program here at SickTick. It's a one-year program. That first year, we try to do a lot of switching with our students. And like, I take his students for a day, he'll take my students for a day. So we, our students don't just leave here and they're just solely a programmer. They're not solely a security specialist. They have just some understanding, some background to make them switch and maneuver and form. I think that's a big thing that you're going to see a lot of in the next couple of years. I feel like most people I talk to are into software industry right now. They're like me. They tried something, they didn't like it, and then they switched, and now they're into software and they like it, or networking or IT, you name it, anything under that CS IT umbrella of careers that you can go into.
I think that's really exciting just to know that there's so many possibilities. And I'm so glad you mentioned, and I feel like we should have another episode together talking about our thoughts on AI, because I feel like we're very aligned.
We didn't venture into the dark web.
Yes, a lot of people are just are terrified, but we've got some really interesting perspectives. I think too, because we use it, but we've also worked, I have industry partners who utilize it on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. We're just all about how do you use it effectively and responsibly.
Yeah.
A total side conversation. But if you're interested in that,
notes for later,
that, we could, you know,
stick around, follow the podcast. That.
Yeah. Cause I mean, man, we could have a good one here.
Yeah.
It's so great to hear you talk about, you know, what it is that you're covering in your class and working with your students. What would you say is the best part about your job? If you only had to pick one,
this is like, and literally, when you win or lose, you go get snow cones afterwards. And they're like, which flavor do you want? Well, I want all the flavors because they're all my favorites. You know, I do have some favorites over like other favorites, but they're all favorites. That's hard for me to really be very specific. But I think the one thing that really pops out are when students have the, oh my gosh, it works moment. I really try to promote, celebrate your wins and celebrate with other people when they have a win. I really try to push in my class. We all learn at different paces. We all have bigger hills to cover than other people. I mean, some of us will have little hills to cover, but they're still hills. We got to conquer these hills. Now, I say, you know, if you did something awesome and you're super excited, stand up and do a little party or do a little dance party or whatever to enjoy the moment that you actually got it to work. I'll even admit there was one day, or actually it was 2 days, I had the same error. I could not figure it out. And I was working on it at home and it was just one character. I had one character wrong. And it was a day and a half of me just going through this. This is like 8 o'clock at night. My wife's on the couch, watching TV. The dog's asleep on the couch. I'm sitting here at my little coffee table coding away, and I got it. I stood up. I just Hulk Hogan ripped my shirt. I was just so excited, just screaming, yeah! The dog's freaking out, running out of the room. My wife's like, are you okay? I got it right. I fixed the problem. And, you know, it's moments like that. Like, that's what I enjoy out of this. I had a student a couple years ago when he conquered his hill. I mean, he slammed his hand on the desk. He stood up. He's like, woo! Hands up in the air, walking around. I was like, that guy got it. He got it. And we celebrated with him. So, you know, it's things like that that make me really enjoy this job. When I see the light bulbs, and also when I see a light bulb of, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. I would rather switch these to this career. It's not the fact that I scared that person away. I hope they realize, hey, I don't want to spend next 4 years of college going down a field that I know I'm not going to like, and then spend about a couple years in industry paying all the student loans and then be able to switch, you know?
Yeah, and just being miserable.
So it's those moments like there, those wins, those realizations, those ahas, that's the joy that I get from doing this and knowing that I'm helping make the future of America better, you know, trying to teach those morals, those ethics and things like that.
Absolutely. I, hands down, the best part of teaching, and you can't fully describe it to someone that doesn't do it.
Yeah.
But that moment that you described, oh, it's better than all the chocolate of the world.
Yeah. Most people think we enjoy making children cry, but no.
Or grading papers.
Oh, puke.
You know, like that's, you know. Now, Mr. Bander, this is the burning question that came in. Do you have a special or secret talent?
Gosh, I hate this question. I hate the questions where they say, tell me something fun about you, or special secret talent, because I'm just like, I don't know if this is secret talent or anything like that. One thing that I always mention, I play instruments in marching band and stuff. I played the saxophone, and it was alto, and I played tenor and barry. Senior year, I started doing bassoon, and then in the meantime, though, I played the drums, drum set for our worship band at church, and then guitar, bass. Now, I'm not shredding the guitar or anything like that. I'm the rhythm guitarist in the background, you could say. Played those, ukulele. We did like a ukulele band at church. And then the latest one I've been trying to pick up is the banjo, which most people would think is the simplest out of all the instruments, but no, banjo has actually been the most difficult one to pick up there. So I play a bunch of different instruments and stuff. That's kind of a special secret talent.
So what you're saying is we could start a band here.
We could.
At Sick Tick.
As long as I don't go near the microphone, we're doing great. So.
Okay, we've got somebody around here that I'm sure can sing. But, so. You know, I used to play the flute, so there we
nice.
Go.
Yep.
I think Miss Barnett, did she play the flute? Somebody else played
Someone,
the flute, too.
At least
we'll have to do, like, a survey of what instruments we've got.
We have flute and saxophone. We have a clarinet. We got to get a brass, and we do, like, a ska band or something.
Yeah, we could totally do that. Be on the commons. Students would love it.
If we need some extra funds as teachers, we'll just go out to downtown and throw a hat out in the street and make a little extra money.
People love it.
There actually used to be, I don't know if they still do it, there used to be, like, a jazz band in town where some of the music directors, they were getting together and they would play like at shows and stuff. But they were the music directors for the school and music teachers, so they're
legitimate.
They'd be a little bit better than if we threw together.
Not the teacher who hasn't picked up her instrument in 20 years, you know? I bet you I could still play it, though.
Well,
I'm pretty confident.
So I catch myself every once in a while actually hitting the keys on the saxophone when I start thinking of, like, scales and stuff. My kid at home, we have, like, a little piano for him, and he'll play it. And as he, like, you know, bangs on it, because he's two, so he just bangs on it, I know, oh, it's a C, so I'll use my finger, will end up going to, like, the C position on saxophone. I catch myself doing it. Be able to pick up the saxophone, actually put air through it, and actually make it sound good? Probably not going
to
happen.
We'll have to do that on another episode,
yeah,
too. The musical stylings of Mr.
Make sure you turn your microphone or your volume down on that one. So, but yeah, I think that would be my secret talent. Also, a secret talent would be I am actually awful at video games.
What?
Yeah, so if you want to play Halo against me, I'm really good at getting sniped with a bazooka.
Are you telling me that's not a prerequisite for your job?
So, I used to be a lot better. If we were to go back to PlayStation and do, like, Crash Team Racing or Tony Hawk Pro Skater, I got you. I think just because I have no competitiveness in me when it comes, like, that stuff, I am all for let's play Halo, just run out in the middle and just do some fun things like that. We played, I'm at my friend's house over the weekend. It was the first time I played games in a long time. I was pretty good at being at one end of the high score list, was not at the top of the high score list. I had fun. I am definitely not good at video games. So that's a secret, not a talent, but a secret about this computer science teacher. Most people think we're really good and it's part of the job rec. I got in to the job with all of my other nerdiness. If you want to talk about Star Wars, I got you. You want to play video games? I got you, but you're going to carry the team, so. Yeah.
Well, my final question for you today, what advice would you give a high school student who's maybe considering coming out here, coming to your program? They're kind of on the fence about it. They don't know if they want to leave their school to come out here. This is all new. What kind of advice would you give them to kind of encourage them to come out here?
Just come. Just do it. This place was built when I was in high school. I had the moment of, do I go out there or not? And when I first learned about Sick Tick, all I knew was about the building trade side and manufacturing, the hands-on side, which intrigued me. But I was like, if I go out there, I can't do band. If I go out there, I can't do, I think it was like one of the early physics courses. It was one of my courses I couldn't do. And I really wanted to do that because I always thought, oh, I'm going to Rose Holman, I'm going to engineering, I've got to take all the AP courses. I mean, they were good. My AP Calc class in high school was a good class. I learned calculus, but day one of college, I took pretty much everything I learned and realized that it was like the first two pages of their textbook when I got to college. And I could have came out here. I could have realized really quickly, oh, I'm not really big into the design side of engineering. Oh, I like this part of engineering. Oh, they have a computer networking course. Maybe I can go take that and try that out. I look at it now, I would be in different place, obviously, and you know, we all have our God has us where we wanted to be and stuff, but like I saw in hindsight, it really would help me figure this stuff out early, you know. And I tell it for anyone, even if you come out here and you take radio broadcasting media communications and you realize afterwards, I don't want to touch a microphone, but coming out here and taking that radio course can really help you with communication skills, which whether you are at the top or bottom of the totem pole, you're going to have to use communication skills in 99% of all industry. I'm going to say the 1% are the people who are sitting at home and doing Bitcoin mining, I guess. So just do it. Come on out here. Work with your counselor. Work with us on how to get out here, because it is a whole different atmosphere, and it's an atmosphere that's going to better prepare you for college, industry, whatever is next, whatever pathway you're heading down. You know, like our health science department out here, I will go ahead and say I have my first aid merit badge, and that's about the only medical training I have. I thought about being a pediatrician in high school. That was like the top five. Like, oh, if I don't do engineering, pediatrician sounds really fun. Well, I would have, but then when I took would have taken anatomy, I would have realized really quickly I can't pronounce or spell half those words. So if I'd have came out here and taken just those courses over there, they teach you how to study. They teach you how to handle yourself in the workforce. That right there alone is worth coming out here. Mm-hmm. You know, high school is designed to prepare you for what's next. I think SICTIC has a great job at that. We have a great program, and any of the programs that we have, from graphic design to advanced manufacturing to our culinary program, our auto service, diesel service, you know, all of our programs out here can really help you figure out what's next. My advice is just come. Just give it a shot. Give it a try. You don't have to sign up for an all 2-year program, but I think once you're here for at least 1 year, you're going to realize I'm super excited about the next year.
Yeah, you want to come back.
Yeah. Most of my students say if I could spend my whole day out here at SICTIC,
yes,
they would sign up in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that we hear the most. So you know that that's high praise if a high school student wants to come to school and be here all day.
Yeah.
And even on days that we have off sometimes, they'll say, oh, can we come out here? I mean, I'm glad you really like school. But
My environment, we have a lot of struggles. We have a lot of hills to overcome building our application programs. But they said not too many classes allow us to sit here and work and get some stuff done while in the meantime have our classroom Spotify playlist going on in the background so we can add songs that we like and also learn about other people's songs that they like, which it's funny, one of my students dropped, they can request songs, I'm going to add to the playlist. So I manage the playlist, but he dropped, I'm going to say, a solid 150 country songs.
Wow.
And him and I re-enjoyed the country songs. Mostly everyone did not, but we, you know, it's learning culture and people you're working with, because the next song is K-pop, and I'm not a big fan of K-pop or all the other pop things. And, and then the next song will be some T-Swizzle, of course. And then the next song will be one I threw in there because I thought it was funny while listening to the playlist that my 2-year-old plays at home, and that's like Wheels on the Bus or something. So it's just, you know, that type of work atmosphere is what, you know, we're trying to have out here. And we're trying to mimic what it's like in industry where, you know, you're here, you get to work. Now, in industry, they don't play Wheels on the Bus over the big speakers in the software firm, but the company I worked with part-time, they will do that. They will have a master Spotify playlist, and someone will jump on there and throw in some throwback Thursday 1980s playlist or something like that, and just kind of low in the background, or, you know, the typical lo-fi or all that stuff.
It's more of an office setting. I mean, as opposed to coming into a classroom, sitting down, having the teacher lecture, then you doing a worksheet. It's come in, you have a project, you have a responsibility, you get to work, you do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's very real world.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, there is like some worksheets stuff, but I remember high school, I remember being so bored of worksheets, so I tried to keep it the same way here in my classrooms. But or you come in, you go to some of the other cool classes. Like, I don't know if you ever heard of this radio class. They have like these really cool posters and old records and stuff on their wall.
It's
like,
sweet.
It's really cool class.
There's even a cardboard cutout of Yoda.
There's artists on here that honestly I've never heard of, but I know are really cool. But you know, all of our work environments out here have their own vibe for that industry, and that's what we try to push. We want you to not feel like you're in high school. We want you to feel like you're actually in the industry or training to be in that industry. So, you know, if there's a high school student out there listening, I'm always going to say to them, don't be scared to try something and fail, and just try it. You know, most people in my industry, we spend in our 8-hour shift only being productive for 2 hours, because the other 6 hours is us trying to figure out how to get it to work and do exactly what we want. So there's a lot of times we press the run button and it fails, but we learn from our failure. We learn from our issues and our errors that we have in our code. And I think that's a huge tool to use in your real life application. You know, learn from your failures, learn from your errors, and learn from other people's failures.